It may not be a household word, but a set of standards called DMARC can really improve email security by cutting out the possibility of fakery. That's why the Trump administration's executive order on cybersecurity directed agencies to install it. That was back in May. How are they doing? Well, for an answer, we turn to Jeff Wilber, director of the Online Trust Alliance. Mr. Wilber, good to have you on.
Thanks, Tom.
Your group does surveys, I guess, of federal websites every year to see what's going on in the security front. Let's start with the email systems under that directive. How do you check email systems?
Sure. Just to give you a little context, the Online Trust Alliance has conducted an online trust audit for almost 10 years now. And we look at a variety of sectors, and government is just one of them. We look at the email aspects of what they do, their site security and privacy. So it's a very comprehensive audit, and then we compare sectors and track adoption of various things.
Maybe the bigger overall question is the government getting better over 10 years?
They are, which is great. And that's part of why we track that adoption, is we want to kind of hold different market sectors accountable to what's going on and encourage them to adopt best practices. And we kind of shine a light on those who are doing best. We have what we call an honor roll that we issue every year for the various sectors that show who's doing best.
All right, so let's get to this, and we'll get to the honor roll in a moment. But I wanted to particularly ask you about that DMARC, because I think that's the first time that might have been referenced in an executive order, this set of standards. What does it stand for, and what does it do?
DMARC is, as you know, the world is full of acronyms, but it stands for Domain-Based Message Authentication, Reporting, and Conformance. And it works in conjunction with some other email authentication technologies and essentially allows a sender of email to say, hey, I have a couple forms of ID you can check. That's the email authentication. And this is how I want you to check them and what to do if my ID check fails.
And this is all automated so that it assures a receiver that the email really came from who he or she thinks it's coming from.
That's exactly right. And DMARC allows then the sender to make a little bit extra assertion and say, hey, if it fails, just throw it away, because I'm confident that my ID that I'm claiming to have is proper. It also allows you to get reports back from those who receive your email so you can make sure that your authentication is working properly. So it's a very important step in helping protect your email, both on your end and the recipient's end of the connection.
So 6 months after the executive order, do we know how many or what percentage of federal agencies or email systems are using this particular technology?
Yeah, so this year we looked at 100 top government sites, and it's cabinet level, those that have been phished and those that have a heavy consumer traffic. And so we aren't looking at all the sites that are covered under this directive. But in May, we saw 20% of them adopting DMARC, and then I mentioned that you can assert a policy, and only 11% of them were saying throw away email that fails. That's the ultimate goal, is to say nobody can fake who I am. So what we did, another snapshot just a week ago, and we saw almost a doubling in adoption. It went from 20% to 38%, at least having a DMARC record, getting started. And we saw that reject policy of, you know, throw away email that fails jump to 14%. So we saw almost a doubling, which is great progress in just a few months.
And what's involved by the tech shop in getting this technology up and running and operative?
Well, there are a couple fundamental things that have to take place first. One is getting your email authentication, that ID I talked about, in place. And the two forms are called SPF, that stands for Sender Policy Framework, and DKIM, which stands for Domain Keys Identified Mail. There are two different ways to provide an ID or authentication for your email. And then DMARC utilizes those and kind of ties them together with this policy and the reporting. So there is some work in that underlying area. The actual implementation of DMARC is really just a text record in your domain name server. So from a complication perspective or an implementation perspective, it's very straightforward, but you have to have all the pieces in place before you do that.
And is there expense with it?
There really isn't. This is free to implement. In the case of some of the authentication, it may be that you need to use a mail server that supports some of those authentication standards. So it may require you to move to a version of software on your mail server that supports it. But from the standpoint of DMARC itself, there's absolutely no cost.
We're speaking with Jeff Wilbur. He's director of the Online Trust Alliance. And can agencies shortcut their way to this email security by going with one of the cloud providers?
They can, and that's a very good question. We are seeing that trend across the variety of sectors, you know, retail and consumer sites and such. Most of the providers of cloud email services have all of this baked in very strongly. Now, you still have to supply your own DMARC record, but all the groundwork that I talked about earlier would generally be in place using a cloud service, so it makes it much more straightforward and kind of built in from the beginning.
And the other thing you look at on the security front is whether federal websites and organizational websites have that HTTPS, the secure HTTP, on there. Does anyone not at this point in history?
Well, that's part of the directive as well. And the kind of subtlety there is a lot of people have HTTPS. If you're going to log in and transact with personal information or financial information, it really needs to be there to secure the connection. But there's been a recent trend toward pushing the entire session from the moment you hit the site to be encrypted so that nothing is ever passed in the clear. On many sites, you go there and it starts unencrypted, and then when you go to log in, maybe it gets encrypted. So that the directive is really pushing everyone to be always encrypted. And so there is pretty high adoption of that. We saw last year, so in 2016, it was about 50% of the top government sites we audited. In the middle of this year, it was 91%, so almost doubled. And then just in, you know, since May, we saw it jump to 95%. So they're very close to meeting the directive, at least at those top 100 sites. Now, my understanding is that this directive is covering 1,000 to 1,200 sites, roughly, that are under the executive branch. So I don't know what the adoption rate is below that. I would imagine it's not as high as these larger, more prominent sites. But this is definitely a move in the right direction.
And you mentioned there's an honor roll in each of the domains that you measure each year. Who's on the honor roll this year in federal?
Well, Tom, I believe about 39% or 39 of the 100 made the honor roll this year. So there's a long list, but of course DHS is on it. A number of other agencies that everyone will recognize, the FBI, the FCC, the FTC, the IRS, and so forth, Health and Human Services, healthcare.gov, the site itself.
The big top-line domains are there.
Yes.
And what about some of the military domains? Do they make it?
Most of them didn't, from what I remember. And just to reinforce a point, because it ties to everything we've been talking about, one of the weakest areas we've seen year over year in the government is actually adoption of these email authentication standards. That's the number one reason for failure in their sector. And so this directive is good because it puts a focus and a spotlight on that to kind of bolster that up. Even though it's going in the direction, there's still quite a ways to go for the federal government sector.
But it sounds like whoever crafted that memo, that EO, really knew what they were talking about.
Yes, I believe they did. And these are important things to implement. They're well-established best practices in a variety of sectors, not just the government. And so it's sort of playing catch up with the rest of the markets.
And just by way of comparison, if you looked at 100 big federal sites and say, you know, small double digit proportion of them now have that email authentication and the HTTPS all the way, how does that compare with some of the big domains in the private sector?
Yeah, that's a great question, and the answer kind of varies. So on the always encrypted side of it, actually the government is leading the pack by a long ways. They're at the top. Banks and consumer sites like your social sites and such are kind of the next tier down, and they're only at the 70%-ish level versus the mid to high 90% adoption. On the email authentication side, and especially DMARC, which we're focusing on here, the government isn't lagging as much as it may sound. A directive implies 100% adoption. Retail and banks are kind of in the mid-30s of adoption. And that's kind of where we see those top government sites now after this directive was issued. But consumer sites lead the pack there with about 60% adoption. So they're still half of what the leading sector is for DMARC adoption.
The world's getting safer, but there's a long way to go, sounds like.
Yes. And one of the lessons we learn every year in doing this audit and kind of tracking all this adoption is you can't do it once and forget it. the bad guys are always moving on to the next level of attacks. So you have to keep pace with that. So there's constant vigilance required.